You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to On The Money. It's Tuesday, the 3rd of February. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the Australian share market closed 0.89% higher, despite the Reserve Bank increasing interest rates for the first time in more than 2 years. I'll have more on the market's movements a little later with Mark Gardner. But first, the Reserve Bank has hiked interest rates by 0.25% to 3.85% as it expects inflation to remain higher for longer. The last time the RBA raised the cash rate was in November 2023. Last year, it delivered 3 rate cuts, but says inflation remains well above its 2-3% target. For more on this, I spoke with Paul Bloxham, Chief Economist at HSBC. So, Paul, the RBA has hiked interest rates today for the first time in 2 years. Was a rate rise warranted?
We think it was really not an option. They had to lift interest rates today. Inflation is above the Reserve Bank's target and tangibly so. Growth is in an upswing. The economy is operating at beyond its capacity. And so they needed to lift interest rates because that's the only thing that will really be able to get inflation to head back to their target, to 2.5%. So I don't think they had really had an option today. I think the rate rise was really a result of the fact that inflation is too high and needs to come down.
How concerned do you think the RBA is about returning inflation to that 2-3% target? And how long does it think that it will take to do so?
So the Reserve Bank's forecasting might take some time, actually, to get inflation back down. They don't really have inflation back at target until the middle of 2028 in their own forecasts. And that's on the assumption that they deliver at least another hike, probably 2 in their own working assumption. Our own view is that we may only need to get 1 more hike beyond the one that's just been delivered, 1 more interest rate rise, and that will be enough to get inflation back to their target. But their view is that it will be some time before inflation gets back to target.
I've seen some commentary that the central bank has potentially rushed to make this decision based on 1 month's CPI data rather than continuing its wait and see approach. What do you make of that?
I think that we've seen quite a lot of CPI data now. We've had 2 consecutive quarterly prints for inflation. The thing that the RBA focuses on most closely is called the trimmed mean. And we had a high print in the 3rd quarter of last year and in the 4th quarter of last year. We've had 6 months of inflation that's too high on that key measure. And so I don't think it's just a one-off story. It's quite a persistent story that meant that the RBA really needed to lift its cash rate as they did today.
As you mentioned, the RBA now sees that there could be another one in the future. When do you think we could see that? Could that be as soon as next month, or are we maybe looking at later in the year?
Our view is it's going to take a little bit of time before they'll be convinced that they need to deliver more tightening. I think they're going to be quite cautious. The governor said that in the press conference that the board was going to take a cautious approach. I think they're going to want to see how much impact this hike has delivered into the economy, and it'll take a little bit of time for that to happen. So we have in mind that there will be another rate rise in the second half of this year. It'll take them a little bit of time to convince themselves that they need to deliver another one, but we do think a little bit more tightening is going to be needed to get inflation to convincingly head back to their target over time.
Now, of course, everyone's talking about housing because housing is linked to interest rates. Do you think higher rates could take some heat out of the market and potentially bring down those high prices?
I think you're already seeing some signs that the expectation that interest rates weren't going to fall and the expectation as we built towards this that interest rates might rise has started to take a little bit of the heat out of the housing market, particularly in Sydney and in Melbourne. I think you're seeing some signs that things are cooling. Yes, we think house price growth will slow down this year relative to last year, and we think that a large part of that is going to reflect that interest rates have now gone up and we think they might go up a bit further. So yes, a cooling housing market, a slowdown in the consumer, these are the mechanisms through which the RBA is using to try and get inflation back to target. Higher interest rates are going to have their biggest effect in those sorts of areas.
And what about savers? What does all of this today mean for them?
Well, if you've got deposit accounts, obviously you might get a higher interest rate. You're likely to on the back of the higher interest rates. So I think it depends on what you're saving in. Obviously, these sorts of actions, higher interest rates can take a little bit of the heat out of risk assets, and things like we've talked about housing a little bit, but there are also other risk assets that might have the heat taken out of them. But if you've got deposit accounts, you're likely to get a higher return on those because interest rates have gone up for borrowers, but they've also gone up. The benchmark is also likely to have an impact on the rates that the depositors face.
That was HSBC Chief Economist Paul Bloxham. Now to the ASX 200, which has finished the session 0.89% higher to 8,857.1. 10 of the 11 sectors ended in the black, led by information technology and materials. That comes amid a global stocks rebound and a gold and silver price recovery. But for how long? Well, for more on that and the day's market action, I spoke with Mark Gardner, CEO at MPC Markets. So, Mark, the RBA has lifted interest rates for the first time in 2 years. How's the market reacted to that?
The market was pretty surprised by the hawkish tone from the RBA. There was some sort of conjecture around whether they might just wait for one more inflation print after that 3.8 monthly number in January. So, but Michelle Bullock's and the board have been very clear. It was a unanimous vote for a 25 basis point rate hike, citing that private demand was what was really pushing it. And while some parts of the inflation may be temporary, emphasising the word may. But a lot of elements are persistent, and the market's now pricing in an 80% chance of another rate hike next month. At this point in time, the Aussie dollar's gone above 70 cents, which it was last week, but that's heading back towards levels we haven't seen since early 2023. As expected, the real estate sector and the bank stocks were the ones most damaged by. In the stock market by the news, but they've largely recovered. The ASX 200 was down around about 0.4% leading into the number. Just after the number, and then has recovered to be down about 0.2.
Earlier, the ASX was on track for its best session in 2 months amid a strong global rebound. What's behind that?
Well, yesterday when we shut, Monday Asian sessions can be quite dangerous before, you know, the US Big Brother, the biggest global capital markets in the world, come on show. And we had the South Korean market was limit down at one stage. The futures for US indices were down anywhere up to 1.8% when we shut yesterday afternoon. They recovered, of course, overnight to be up near on 2.2% in the NASDAQ and the S&P, et cetera. So there was a very distinct turnaround from the US market. Gold and precious metals markets stabilised somewhat as well after that huge drop on last Friday, which was, I think, silver had the largest drop since 1921. But those markets have been, you know, have been absolutely spectacular in terms of their rally this year. Best 1 and 2 month rallies I think we've ever seen historically for gold, silver, and platinum. So it was very much a bit of a stabilization session. We had some really good economic numbers out of the US, and I think the when we shut at 4:30 was peak negativity for the Asian markets. So that recovery was really more so playing catch up with the US, and then a few sort of calming down of the India US relationship as well with tariffs and things overnight, and just a general stability in markets. I think is bringing back a little bit of investor confidence overall, because it was an extremely volatile Friday night session into Monday Asian session, and. Yes, and the US investors thankfully stabilised things.
You mentioned gold and silver prices. They're up again after slumping from those record highs on the weekend. What's behind this latest rebound, and do you think they could track back to those record prices that we were seeing?
We've been long precious metals for quite some time, and look, no one, I think, expected the likes of silver to get to 120 last week. I mean, platinum's been lagging, but gold at 5,600. I mean, our 1 year price target was 5,500, and we got there in, we got there by the 23rd of January. So I do expect gold. Nothing's essentially changed. The US debt is still there. There's still hugely fragile geopolitical landscape at the moment. You've still got BRICS nations, which is obviously Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, still making efforts to de-dollarize. Just due to that US debt and remove treasuries from their balance sheet. So I think that the actual fundamental story is still remains. Prices for gold, silver in China are significantly higher than the US. But what's happening with COMEX, which is the US exchange for metals, it's largely a paper market. It is not really deliverable. And an increase in margins or the cost of lending to hold those positions was dramatically increased by the exchange. So if you're not able to fund those positions, you have to exit. And it looks like that's what's happened overall because we have bounced back. I would expect things to stabilize and grind higher. Whether we go through those record highs is another question. We'll have to see when we get there. But even at 85 here in silver and getting back towards 5,000 in gold, I mean, at the start of the year, you would have been fairly happy with those sorts of prices anyway. I think we just need things to calm down a touch, and I think you'll see the fundamentals start to kick back in.
Locally, the reporting season kicks off this week. What are you looking out for?
I expect our tech sector to do fairly well. The tech sector overall, since September, has diverged from the US by about nearly 40%. One of the worst performing sectors on the year and last year, which I think they've been very unfairly done by, despite our rate differential from the US now. A lot of these companies operate in the US. 40% is massive overkill in terms of in terms of rate differentials on a growth stock. So the likes of the likes of Xero, Technology One, WiseTech, REA, et cetera, we expect to do quite well. And probably, and probably get back towards the middle of the range, not be sitting on their lows. But obviously the precious metal trade has attracted a lot of capital and people are a little bit worried. But I would expect that sector to do pretty well. Outside of that, we've had a lot of the quarterlies from the miners. So there's not going to be too many surprises there. So I think that'll probably stabilize things somewhat, and I think investors will give mining companies the benefit of the doubt given the commodities run in the last 6 months. But overall, last earnings in August was very dangerous. If a company disappointed, the share price was hit very hard. So we're adopting very much a wait and see attitude, and possibly just, holding some cash back in case there is an opportunity rather than trying to predict or guess what's going to happen and what the market reaction is going to be with some of these earnings.
And finally, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Similar to what I just said, I think Australian tech's very is very cheap at the moment. I think having cash is a valuable position, although it feels like it's doing nothing. Being able to react in a Trump world, realistically, you should always have probably about 10% minimum of your investment portfolio just there, just in case, because you can take advantage of an opportunity if the market was to fall, or a new tariff or et cetera. And it does provide a little bit of safety overall, and obviously still maintaining those precious metals in your portfolio, which we have done for quite some time. But be agile, because as we've seen in the first month of 2026, a lot can change, given we've had Venezuela, Greenland, EU on and off, India trade deal, a partial government shutdown in the US. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And now here we are on the 3rd of February, and we've got a surprise rate hike from the RBA. So I don't think it's going to be one of those years where we just have a linear grind higher like we have. And I think you probably need to do your homework more than ever, and make sure that you're sticking to the things you believe in and maybe being a little bit patient with the level of cash.
That was Mark Gardner from MPC Markets. That's all for today. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to SBS On The Money on your favourite platform. Ricardo will be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.